Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're live here today at Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm going to open up with our intro. Good evening, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. My name is Thomas Tom Roper, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. My program, On the Ropes, is broadcasting from the Cassia Territory of the Gidimdum Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en. Okay, there we go, Jason. We've got the introduction started up for us, and it's the moment in time that I want to welcome you to the program. So this is tonight's show will be an interview with Jason Chaplin, and he's actually written a book. So welcome, Jason. Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Stoked to be here.
You betcha. So what I like to do, Jason, when we get rolling, is try to figure out how you got to the Bulkley Valley. And every now and then we run into somebody that was born in the valley. As we are a valley of a lot of immigrants, but there also is a lot of people that have actually been born here. Can you give me a little bit of a start on that, like with your family? Like, how did your mom and dad decide they were going to come to Smithers? How did that work out?
So my dad, born and raised, and my mom's from Newfoundland, and she moved out when she was younger working as a lab technician, and then they met in Smithers.
No kidding. Yeah, I did not know that. I really thought your dad was from out of town. So he grew up here and went to school here.
That's correct.
Wow. And so, and then along his way of learning what he wanted to do with his career, he got involved with PIR.
That's correct.
Okay, and he stayed there right till the end of his term.
Yeah, he. So my grandpa from Vancouver moved up to Smithers, and then they started Tukey Lodge.
Okay, okay.
So they started that, and then my dad was a fishing hunting guide and kind of just helping out the business, and then he started with PIR and then stayed there for his career.
Okay, well, that sounds real interesting. So when I actually met your family, like I had just moved to town also around 1975, and we were living in the apartment over on 13th and Main, and your parents were living a couple of studios down from us, and I got to meet them, but we didn't really get to know them that well. But that was a very difficult time to find places to stay. Did your parents, they may not have had that same problem if your dad knew his way around Smithers beforehand.
Yeah, and I guess this is kind of the reason why I wrote a book, because I just want to give stories of my past to my kids, but no, I don't really know that portion.
Right.
They never
right.
really, I never really chatted with them about that.
Yeah. And your grandfather, what was his last name? Was it the same Chaplin?
Chaplin, correct.
Okay. Yep. All right. And so he was living in Vancouver, but he was, how did he have a relationship with Smithers? Was he born up here also?
Nope. So you just moved, brought his family up. And
okay.
Then
right.
Enjoyed the valley.
Stayed. Yeah, exactly. It's definitely one of those valleys that you can sure enjoy. Well, anyways, Jason, in chatting a little more about what's going on, I see that your family has settled in quite well, and then you went off to school. How did that go, like your school life?
Not so well, a little bit of a school life. I was a bit of a vagabond when I was younger, so I graduated high school here, and then I didn't live my 20s in Smithers, so my first big trip was Australia and like Fiji, Cook Islands, kind of Indonesia, that section of the world, and then came back. And then I did go to school in Victoria for really nothing of importance. And then I moved up to Whitehorse. And then from Whitehorse, I traveled Central America. So did all of Central America in one winter.
Right, right.
And then came back, moved to Lake Louise.
So how do you get this attraction to come back? Like, what were you coming back to? You're coming back to your family. They still live here. And you, why didn't you stay in Lake Louise? Why didn't you stay in Whitehorse?
Yeah, good question. I guess I just needed to get that out of my system. I feel like the 20s is like an exceptionally important piece of the of your growing up. And I guess the 20s, I didn't want to be in Smithers. So, yeah, we moved around. I met my wife in Lake Louise. But, yeah, we moved around a lot. And right. then I was working in Jasper with TD Canada Trust and then Yellowknife. But then I hopped on with RBC and then I became on their mobility list. So for the North as well, actually, funny enough. But
so they were able to move you around if you were on that list and you were okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of sign up for it. And so I was in Campbell River. They moved me to Prince George and then there was a 6-month training program and it only took me, I think it was 3 months. And then, you know, Thursday before a weekend, branch manager comes in and says, hey, you're moving to Quesnel. So I got transferred there and then transferred back to Prince George. And then they transferred me to Smithers.
Oh, so you actually had a real transfer. You didn't come down here and say, I'm going to move to Smithers. I got to get a job here.
Yeah, there was a bit of a succession planning with RBC. They knew that I was definitely interested in moving back and it just worked out.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, so I moved back when I was 32.
Well, that's a good good year, very good year. So in that time period, you had met your wife. You said you met your wife in Lake Louise?
That's correct.
And how did that come about? Like what, were you guys bumped into each other skiing or were you working at a hotel or how did that come together?
Yeah, so working at the same hotel, which was Deer Lodge. So right at Lake Louise, there's the chateau and then just below it, there's a smaller smaller hotel and we were both working there and that's how we met.
Okay, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And where is your wife from?
She's from Guelph, Ontario.
Okay, all right. So she's an Eastern girl, so she came out to check out the West and then never made it back.
Pretty much, yeah. She actually, from Lake Louise, went back to Barrie, Ontario to finish her schooling and then yeah, then we moved out to Nelson and then to Jasper, and we right. just kind of stayed out west since.
Yeah, yeah. Did you get back to Barrie yourself? Did you look around out east there?
Yeah, from Lake Louise, I went to South America for traveling and then came back and then spent a couple months with her until she finished school.
Oh, yeah. All right. That sounds good. Okay. Well, everything's sounding very interesting, Jason, and I think what we should do is let's slide a song in.
Oh, a song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and that would get us rolling along in our program. So you've got, we always try to have a playlist set up for these interviews, and the only requirement is that we have a Canadian song, one Canadian song
Correct.
Out of four. So right at this present moment, you've chosen Pearl Jam. Is there any particular reason you chose this song, Alive?
Yeah, it's a bit of a story, but and not, I guess every story isn't happy, but definitely one of the saddest memories I own. But where to begin with this? So we lost one of our favorite humans in the summer of grade 11 going into grade 12. And yeah, it was really difficult for us. I feel like our friend group was great. Like we were good kids. We did well in school and in sports and that kind of thing. But yeah, when our friend passed away, we had a really hard time with it, obviously.
Yeah.
And there was one story that I put in the book about we rolled into the Mohawk one evening after he had passed away a couple months after, which, and Mohawk doesn't exist anymore. It's
no.
right beside Subway where the ping pong table is. But we rolled in and everyone got out of the vehicle and went into the gas station and I stayed by the vehicle. And there was an older gentleman, probably in his 40s, bald. And he was looking at me and I could tell and I didn't make eye contact. And then I finally looked over and made eye contact. And he said, hey, can I talk to you for a second? And as he was walking up and I had a little bit of fright of maybe I should run away, but I didn't. And he introduced himself, and I forget his name, but he said, you know, I'm the we call it the Undertaker, but he worked for the funeral home, and he said he had been seeing me and my friends around town, and we just needed to settle down, and kind of gave me a bit of a pep talk. So that's kind of where we were at after he passed away. And yeah, it was hard.
Very,
for sure.
Very hard time. Yeah. And so this fellow gave you some advice that maybe just to slow down a little bit because life was sort of flat out.
Yeah, 100%. And I guess with, being in the 90s, like mental health and like counseling and that kind of thing is definitely more prominent in this day and age. But yeah, we kind of reverted to drugs and alcohol, which isn't the best way to deal with things. But and then graduation. So this was our grad song. And I guess we as a grad class kind of picked it because we were all still alive and our friend was not.
Right. Very emotional time.
It was. Yep. Absolutely.
Well, let's give it a shot here and see how it sounds today.
Oh,
Well, that was, now that I know the reason for that song, it's made it a bit of a heavier song, something that is emotionally kind of pulling the class together through their graduation class. That was a very tough time. I just wanted the listeners to know that my son Dave was part of your group of guys that hung around, and when Ryan was in an accident and passed away, it was something that I don't think we've ever got over it. It's still, I mean, you don't get over people leaving us. It's you have to live around it, but it's something, the memory is always there.
Yeah, I agree. You have to work through it. You don't get over it.
No, it's just part of our, it becomes part of our life.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty nice version of Pearl Jam's Run there. And so were you, have you got any connection to music? Like, are you a musician, or do you play any instruments that you...
I do not play any instruments, but like top three favorite things to do. One is hanging out with my favorite humans. One's exercise, and then music. I love music. I love listening to music. And it's interesting, actually, all the four songs that I gave you tonight are not on any of my playlists, which is interesting. But yeah, I love listening to new music and all kinds of music.
Right. So, Jason, that you've already given me a whole raft of things to talk about, like your traveling trips to Asia and Central America, South America. I had a little run at it myself. I went down to the Panama Canal.
Oh, nice.
And I went through Central America. I had a car for a while, and I had to sell it, and then I ran out of money. And so you must have had similar experiences. You were traveling. You weren't living in high-class hotels.
No, actually, the Central America trip was, it was 1998 and 99, but I spent 5 months down there on $1,500 US. So, and I chatting with my mom recently about this, but she cried when she came to pick me up at the airport, because I couldn't afford meals at certain times. So I just skipped it and sleeping in a tent and kind of dirtbagging it. But yeah, when she picked me up, she wasn't super stoked on how skinny I was when I came home.
She was probably happy to see you, though.
Just, oh, absolutely.
Coming back. And that's a very important part about it. So then how did you make the decision you were going to go down to South America? And your girlfriend at the time was staying home, going to school, slugging it out, and you were going to go off and have a little bit of fun again.
I don't know why I picked Peru in South America. I kind of wish I knew, because at that time I learned this later because I did zero research, but I think it was Colombia, Venezuela, and Peru were the three countries that maybe you shouldn't be going to, and right. I picked Peru, and I unfortunately lost two of my nine lives within 48 hours there. But yeah, it was, and after traveling Central America, like, you always have your guard up and been in some interesting situations. But at that time in the early 2000s, Peru wasn't super safe to travel.
No, I would imagine that, and there's still concerns down in these countries. There's still situations that are going on, drug problems and whatever. Did you travel alone?
Yeah, most of my trips, actually all of my trips except for the Australia trip. But then I was gone for probably like 9 or 10 months, and then I left with a friend from Smithers, but then we kind of just went separate ways around 3 months. But all the other trips were alone, which I loved, actually. Like, you go down and then you just instantly meet people.
Yeah.
Same boat. Just, and then I always traveled with people. Just I never started out traveling
right,
with people.
Right, exactly. No, but it is the way to meet locals, even. Like, if you're...
100%.
I mean, I had that a couple of times in Mexico City. I was just walking along and some guy comes up and says, did you want to come home for lunch? And I mean, it's a guy I don't know, and his mother's made this really great hot chicken lunch, you know, and it's kind of like, wow, that wouldn't happen if you were with four or five Canadian guys.
Yeah, I would agree.
Walking down the street, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So it does have its own dynamic for sure of how that fits together. So you had along the way on all these trips, you talked about nine lives, and you've managed to slide your way through. You're a little bit like a cat, would you say?
Yeah. So in the book, I decided to write some fun facts for each chapter, and it was actually on my birthday this year. Because I wrote in a couple times of like, I should count how many near-death experiences I've had. And then as I was flying down, I counted 12. Yeah, and I was that's a lot. But then I was at my mom's for Christmas, and obviously 13 sometimes isn't lucky. But I was downstairs, and then I saw a picture of rock climbing, and I'm like, that's actually... So I have 13.
Try it.
Yeah. But the... 11 of those were before I turned 24. So, things calmed down after that, which is great.
Which is kind of great. to keep extending your life is actually kind of a good situation. I had one interesting moment in Algeria, and I was going through the border with a couple of guys, and my visa had expired. And so I attempted to change the date on it. And so when I got in there, the big Algerian guy that was running the border was not overly happy, you know.
Weird.
And it's really almost ended up in jail. But these things happen as you're going along. So, Jason, one of the things we really want to delve into a little bit more is your book. And out of the question that I would ask... A lot of times autobiographies are sort of, as you get to the end of your life, you've got a little more time and you can reflect. But it seems that this is kind of a bit of an... You started out where you were going to sort of talk a little bit more about your children, but then it sort of morphed into kind of more about you so they could understand you better. Would you say so?
Yeah, 100%. So I started writing, I think 12, maybe 13 years ago, just what it was like raising kids. And then my dad passed away a good couple of years ago, and I was at his funeral and just listening to one of his best friends talk of stories of my dad. And obviously you can't tell every story, but I just feel like I wish I knew my dad better, or just how he became who he was as a human. Mm-hmm. And then my book morphed into a story of me for my kids.
Right.
So they can read it when they want. I've been reading it to my daughter Dharma right now, but there's just certain, there's things that happen in your life that change to who you are as a human. And, I put it together just so my kids can read it and then just understand how I became to be me.
I think that sounds so interesting, Jason. And the actual work of writing a lot of people have that desire, but they can't seem to get around to it. You know, we've got a lot going on in our lives, and you have to focus on something. Now, you said you've been working on this for about 13 years, so you've managed to keep dragging it along and keep working on it. How do you fit that into your busy life?
It originally started, and again, I'm not a writer. I just threw something together, and like, there's obviously a lot of amazing writers out there, and I started out putting in bullet form, and it's interesting on the memories that you have and the memories that kind of stand out, but... And then there becomes a writing block of like, okay, I'm going to throw this into a chapter. I'm going to start having kind of a flow of how the book's going to look. And then there becomes writing blocks. But I love the process. I think writing was, I guess, a bit of an emotional release as well. Like, it's a very personal book. Mm-hmm. Kind of a lot of... just who I am and how I became to be. But it's been a fantastic journey for sure.
It sounds like it's been quite the ride to get it together. And what you've got in your hands is something that can never be taken away. This is these are memories that I've a lot of my memories have been with the camera to get a shot of where you're at or you caught a fish or whatever you're doing. But you've put these pictures into your words now, and you've got this book available that really tells your story. This idea of who you are and how you came to be, I think, is very important in this whole process, you know, so that somebody, and it's really mainly your children, can understand why you do things the way you do, what is, how you're being brought up, etc., that type of thing.
Right.
So let's put another song in while we're in the mood.
Oh, sure. Sounds
okay.
Great.
And so we've got another one here. This is the second of your playlist, which is our Canadian edition. And it's the tragically hip Bob Cajun. Is there any reason for this song, Jason?
Yeah, absolutely. So I moved to Lake Louise and obviously not looking for a relationship, which is funny how it all happens. But I was sitting out on the deck with my parents eating lunch, and Julie walks out, my current wife. And it was love at first sight. I looked at her. She opened the door. We made eye contact. She gave me this smile. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I just knocked my socks off. And I've never felt that way before. And we were only together for about 3 weeks. And then she moved because I was there for the winter and she was there for the summer. But she went back to school. And after the 3 weeks, we kind of said her goodbyes. And then she left. And then we ended up talking daily, and then we did a 4 month. We decided to reconnect as a couple, but and then we did long distance. And I think every time I hear this song, it brings me back to Lake Louise, and it must have been on the radio a lot at that time. But I'm so fortunate that I met Julie. She's a beautiful human, and I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't have her in my life. So. Every time I listen to this song, it brings me back to that time.
Well, let's go back to Lake Louise and see how it's doing out there.
Okay, so there's this cop. And he's in love with a girl from the country. Around Bob Cajun.
Bye. in the middle of that riot. I couldn't get you off of my mind. To your house this morning. It's just a little out tonight. Cause there was in my
Well, that was the live version of Bob Bob Cajun, and it's kind of cool the way music can fit into your life in the situations that you're caught up in. And like when you first met Julie, and then you know it's kind of like, man, that's the moment that's got into your heart, and it kept you going, kept each of you coming back together. It's very very cool the way that can come together.
Yeah, I remember it was about 4 months ago this song came on the rodeo. I was driving by the skate park, and I love that song. Every time I listen to it,
by the Tragically Hip. That's our great Canadian group that was pretty famous back in the day, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
So, Jason, just talking a little bit more about your, I want to go a little bit more on the book. I'd like you to, when we get to our midway point, which we're very close, is to just see if you can pull me out a paragraph that you could read. But until, we don't need it right at this moment, but maybe if you could look through that and see, I just wanted to ask you about your decision to be a part of this community. Like when you came back, you said you were 32. Is that when you started becoming a ref, like helping out, becoming a ski coach? All these things that you do as a person in Smithers are a big part of the fabric of this community. You know, if nobody helps, nothing gets done. It's the volunteers really that are driving all the things that we do. How would you deal with that? How did you come to that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say every place that we lived, we always volunteered. I feel like if you want to be a part of a community, you kind of have to be involved and engaged. This is my 20th year reffing hockey, so I did lots of reffing in Prince George and Quesnel when we lived there as well. But I guess I started, it's awesome. I'm the longest standing coach of the downhill ski club. I think it's my 13th year, maybe 12th year, something like that. But I went through the club as a kid, and it feels good to give back. And our kids ran through the program as well. But yeah, I coach the little kids in mountain biking, the Sprott Kids program. I don't know. I just love coaching kids, and yeah. I think that's kind of my passion. And I really enjoy doing it, and still continue to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a very important part. Well, Jason, while we're here now, let's put in our midterm sort of statement. So we have to re-identify the station, and I just want everyone to know that we are on Smithers Community Radio and CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. And at the same time, we like to give a shout out to our sponsors that have helped us along the way. It's a completely volunteer program. And so we've been getting some help from Bugwood Bean and a Ranch House Tattoo. And I've got one here for Phoenix Self-Care Studio and BV Farmers Market. So we'll just have a thank you out to those people. And appreciate their help. So, is there something there that you figure you could read and get an idea of what maybe along your travels or something? What do you think? Have you got a spot there that you'd like to do?
I got some.
Okay.
I was at a 30-year-old birthday party, and someone asked me what my favorite chapter was, and. My favorite chapter is Define Success, and I kind of guess triaged what success is to me, and then kind of looked at what people view success as, and I will read. It's a 5,000-word chapter, but
right, yeah.
I'm just gonna read the last little paragraph, but success means something different to everyone, and there's no right or wrong answer. I believe you can have success from many different sources, but for me, career or money isn't the source of my happiness. Love is the source. It's a feeling that is the most amazing feeling one could ever feel. Success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to success. The formula is simple. Love equals happiness for me.
That's pretty well out there, giving us a pretty good idea of what your thought on life is. And it's giving people a chance to formulate their own sort of ideas of what they think life is and success. I remember growing up, my father came out of the Depression, so the only thing that was successful in his understanding was money. And I think we've kind of gone a different route on that particular issue. I mean, we have to have money to stay alive, but there is a question when you have $1 billion, like, does that make you successful? Are you happy, or have you missed something? And I like how that is laid out, Jason, and what you're saying there. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. I've watched lots of documentaries on happiness and where that comes from, and one documentary, I think I put it actually in the book, that they said if you make $50,000 a year or $500 million a year, it doesn't matter based on happiness. If you have your essentials like shelter and water and food, then money doesn't make you happy.
No, it's got to be.
And maybe it makes some people happy, but that wasn't the source of what I was looking for.
Yeah, right, exactly. So getting back a little bit more to the book on this decision where you started out wanting to explain to your children about how you raised them and how it was going, and then started more morphing into talking about who you are, and then that is how you have how you are raising them because of the person that you are. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, how are your children sort of understanding the book as you read it to them and give them that information? Do they have any any qualms about that? Or, I mean, it's good to understand like you said, you were going back originally, you went back to your father when you were at the funeral. And, not, and there's a lot of history that you really don't know.
Right.
And this is giving some current history that we will have, you know. To me, it's a great thing to have.
Yeah, I guess the point, like there's some obviously big things that happen in your life. And I guess I'll kind of leaning towards one memory, which was in Antigua, Guatemala in December 25th, 1998. And it was the loneliest day of my life. I woke up Christmas morning all by myself and in a cold, dark room and spent the morning completely alone. And it, from that point forward, it changed me. It made me realize that my favorite humans, who I wanted to be surrounded by that morning, they just mean the world to me. And I'm just so thankful that I have humans in my life that I love and respect. And just little stories like that of when our kids are like, why is dad so crazy? Then you can just read about it and right. kind of connect the dots.
Right, right. No, that's pretty cool, actually, Jace. I found also when I was traveling and when you were, if you got into a position where you were alone and things weren't going that well, it has a way to build your resilience, your strengths, and you're able to focus a little more on what you really think is important.
Right.
You know, and I can see how that could come out. And, you know, so the other part I wanted to talk a little bit about, Jason, was the decision to have children. Like, that's a pretty monumental decision. Now, a lot of people, they fluke it, you know, or it just happens. But you and Julie have kind of, you know, talked about it, tried to set it up. Like, when children arrive, the change in life is pretty monumental.
There's no change. No, it's totally fine. Just joking. I actually, when I was younger, I didn't think I wanted kids. And then Julie and I just started talking about it and then kept talking and talking. And then, having kids, raising kids, as you know, Tom, because you have three, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. It's, you basically take a life that you had and then it 100% changes. And as in the book, like I've been really hard on myself as a parent and wanting to be better. It's a roller coaster. It's certainly not easy, but I'm in the current, I love this stage right now of raising teenagers. I think it's my favorite stage of raising kids and just the relationship that I have and Julie has as well. Just there's a lot of love and respect with our relationship with our kids. And the amount of comments that we get from the community on how nice our kids are, it's quite lovely to hear right. those kind of things as yeah. well.
I can certainly imagine that for sure. Jason, well, let's throw in another song here. We're plugging along through the program. Everything's looking good, and we want to keep our music still flowing. So this song here is, I'm sure, and I appreciate the fact that you do have a little story with each song. So this is Stone Temple Pilots and their song Plush. How did that come into your playlist this round?
I don't like kids' music. I'm sorry to anyone that plays kids' music, but it's funny. We didn't even have clothes for Tristan when he was born. Like we had, it was like a pink jumpsuit that the hospital gave us. Like that's what we took him home in. And it's funny, like you go to school for whatever education and career you want to do, but when you have a kid, I had no training. I'm just sitting on the side of the bed with Tristan in my arms, and this is the first song I sang to him, because that's 90s rock. That's what I raised our kids on. So
right.
This was the first song I sang to Tristan.
Sounds good. little technical issues there. So Jace, that song and the 90s rock is your period that you're really comfortable in. You grew up through that era.
Yeah.
Now they're showing that this band, the Stone Temple Pilots, was formed in 89 in San Diego. It's an American band, but they've been quite famous over the over the time period.
Yeah.
So when we interrupted your portion on talking about your children, I did have one more question that I should have got in before the song, but the song is also talking about you having your child with you and one of the first songs you were able to communicate with them. In reading and listening to yourself, you and Julia are great parents. Is there some secret sort of something that you do or something that you can say that can help us to become great parents?
Great parents. I don't know if I'd go so far as that, but I actually put this in the book as well. Everyone's got their own parenting style. And I think the one thing is it's a huge responsibility having kids. I think if you show up, I think that's the key piece, and how you show up, and people probably look at my parenting style and disagree to it, which is fine, but that's just what my style is. And everyone's got their own style, but if you're there and you show up, then you'll be successful, hopefully, as a parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's a pretty simple sort of statement that means quite a bit. Like, we're talking about all of these times to show up, the good and the bad, you know, when things are not going well. I remember when my son was in trouble and I was woken up at 4 in the morning by the police.
We were talking about that recently. Yeah. You left a message. Oh, that's so good.
And that was, but you got to still be there. You've got to still fight for your children, good or bad. You know, they have to learn that you are there for them. And I think that in the overall picture, they appreciate that, you know?
Yeah, and I talk in the book, too, of maybe not being present all the time. It's not, you can't be there showing up 100% of the time, and I've been hard on myself for that piece. But, if you do show up in good times and bad, then I think you're doing your job as a parent, for sure.
Yeah, and the other thing that is important is, as the children are growing, they have to become themselves and they have to reach out to areas where they can't sort of have their parents supporting them. You've given them this lead, and then you got to hope that they understand that they're able to do it themselves. It's kind of like I always felt that way with traveling. Like, my mother was a traveler. My father was not, really. He was a local traveler, but not a international traveler.
Yep.
And I always felt my mother kind of was trying to push us out there so that we would be able to figure it out on our own. Like, we'd been brought up, and it was time to, you know, find your own self-reliance.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a term now that they call it the lighthouse parenting. It's not, there's obviously different terms like helicopter parenting, but lighthouse parenting is what you just described. Like, you kind of give them free range, and when you have to course correct, as a lighthouse does, in times of storm, then you're there for that piece. But yeah, high school years is kind of a time of like, I hope we did our best, and I hope you make good decisions. But so far so good.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. Where is that wood? Oh, yeah, right there. Good. Right on. Okay. Sounds really good. All right. So let's get our fourth song in so that we've got our full playlist. We're running close to the end, and see how that goes.
Sure. And this last song is my first song that I sang to our daughter. And it was cool. I sang this to her all the time. And then my favorite part of this song was I first heard it on the radio, and she was there, but she had never heard it live or by the artist before. Right. And the first section of the song is the guitar piece. And I'm like, oh, darn it, it's our song. And then she's like, what
are you talking about?
And then as soon as the singer sings the first couple of words, her face completely lit up. So, yeah, we were driving up the ski hill yesterday and we listened to the song together. And yeah, it's our song for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's a darn good connection. So this is Under the Bridge by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And is it a 90s song too?
Yeah, it's in and around there, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
yeah. All right.
Oh,
That was pretty cool. And I like how you've got a connection with these songs to your children and your wife. It's pretty cool, Jace.
Yeah, I love music. I think we haven't had a TV for a really long time. We got one recently a couple of years ago. But yeah, there's always music playing at our house. I love music.
Yeah, well, that's cool. Okay, Jace, so we are reaching the conclusion of our program. I think when we talk about the book, I think it's really, really delivered your overall goal. Like, you're able to provide the children with an understanding of who you are and how you became to be that person. You know, that is really, our life is there. It's all written down in the book. And how did we get that thought process? You know, like when we spent the time that I spent in poor countries seeing poor people, gave me empathy that I could, you know, if I didn't go there, I wouldn't have achieved that. You know what I mean? So it's part of who you become. And I think it's quite an accomplishment to get this book written down. And I do believe that you've got lots of life ahead of you and more chapters that are going to be able to fill in. And we may end up with, you know, another portion of that book to keep, so that it's a history. It's a history story, really, of what we got going. So thank you very much for coming down, Jason, and sharing this with our listeners and myself. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Super you excited. Betcha.
So I'm going to just see if I can get the outro on there now.
You have been listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and we will see you on the flip side.
All right, let's see if we can get this to go off. Right.